welcome to the panel. This is Telltale of the Walking Dead reunion panel. How are you doing? My name is Caroline Nick. I am the community manager at Telltale Games. Woo! Welcome. Before we bring up the panelists, just a couple housekeeping things. We're going to have Q&A later, so like, start thinking of questions. Don't rush the mic now. The time will come. We also have a few special guests, so I'll bring them on first. You might recognize him as Omid, or hear his voice as Omid from The Walking Dead, the first season. It's Owen Thomas. She's Molly from the first season, Bonnie from 400 Days in season 2, she's Snow White in The Wolf Among Us. It's Erin Yvette. Started as Javi Garcia in The Walking Dead, A New Frontier. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Shine. He is Star-Lord in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series. He's Lucas in Minecraft Story Mode, and he's Luke in The Walking Dead Season 2. Scott Porter. Panelist has been so many characters, I don't even know all of their names, but you probably recognize her as Katya from season 1. It's Sissy Jones. And next panelist, you might know him as Kenny. He's been looking for a boat for a long time. It's Gavin Hammond. I need everybody to get on their fucking feet. It's Melissa Hutchison. You know her as Clementine.
I want to be introduced that way, like, everywhere.
It was amazing. I'll have to move to LA so I can move here. I'm your roommate.
All
right. Cool. So. We have a bunch of people here who started working with Telltale in various manners. So let's go down the line and kind of do some intros and how you started working with Telltale on The Walking Dead.
Me?
Yeah.
You're the line.
Well, I fortunately have actually worked with Telltale Games go all the way back to Sam and Max. So we're talking. I don't even want to do the math right now because it's going to be a really long time. So I worked on Sam and Max, did Trixie Trotter and Back to the Future, Wolf Among Us. We were married in that game, Beast and Beauty. And you know, when the auditions came through for The Walking Dead, I was already a fan of the franchise. I hadn't read the comics yet, but I was a big fan of the show. And you know, as I can probably speak for a lot of us, you know, we. Reading that script and the character descriptions, it was just a different, there was something special. And we knew, like, going into it that it was gonna be something special. We didn't know as much as we did about it, like, blowing up. That's another story for another time. Anyways, I saw, you know, the artwork for Clementine and her character description, and, you know, it was tricky because they were actually, you know, this has to be a real child, and in voiceover, often telling them, "Hi, my name's Clementine." You know, it couldn't be like this thing you wanted to kill immediately. Yeah, they looked like a duck. That was actually a kid. You know, yeah. Sorry, dude. You know, I just her character was just really special to me. I fell in love with her from the get-go, and thankfully I booked the job, and here I am. That was a really long story. Sorry.
Thank you for that. I auditioned for Kenny, and it was funny because that first round of auditions, things just kept coming back, you know. Characters would come back and come back, and Kenny never came back, so meaning, like, it never got sent to us again for re-auditions or anything. But I had also worked on some lesser-known Telltale titles like Law and Order, CSI. The really strong licenses. And, so for me, it was any time I really wanted to work on Sam and Max, because I'm a huge Steve Purcell fan, a huge fan of the comics. So, and I knew the Walking Dead comics, so when I saw that come back, I was very excited. And that the packet was so much more robust than anything you see. We're used to going like, Renee! And that sort of thing. But yeah, it was just something super cool, and I was honored to be a part of it, and kept waiting for them to kill me, and they kept trying. You guys kept trying to stop them, but they got us in the end, so.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Spoiler.
Oh, right. Spoilers, bro.
I had just switched careers and was no longer working in the Silicon Valley, and Katya was my second audition. And I had to learn a Belgian accent, and so I followed a friend of mine around who's Belgian for way too long, and it got really uncomfortable. But I learned the accent, and booked. That was my first voiceover job, was Katya. And then I did a bunch of others that died. They're all dead. Everyone's dead.
We're all pretty much dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Still not bitten.
Except her.
I played the first game like 4 times, and just stalked Telltale at Comic-Con one year, and I was like, hey, you guys do really cool stuff. And they're like, hey, do we know you? I know, and then like we just became like friends, and I had like a relationship with some of the people at Telltale first, and then I got a tweet, a DM, Joe Stauffer, slid into my DMs and was like, hey, would you want to work on The Walking Dead Season 2? And I was like, yes. And that's how I became Luke. That's like literally it.
It's a good story.
I was very, very lucky. It was only my second like voiceover gig ever. It's something I wanted to do forever, so I'm like internally indebted to Telltale for taking a shot on me in that regard.
Yeah, same.
I didn't know I was auditioning for The Walking Dead. I don't even think I knew in my first session. I kind of was in, and like Mel was there, and I didn't really know. And I think it was good that I didn't know, because I think it would have made me like a lot more nervous. So the audition did come through, and then I did the first session, and it wasn't until the end that I started like recognizing some of the names of the characters, and I was like, oh shit, this is cool. And that was basically it. It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I was studying opera and musical theater and theater and trying to figure out, how am I going to make a living doing this? Because no one wants to pay actors. And I was lucky enough to know a dev at Telltale who was like, you should audition. We're struggling to cast this role, this like young 20-something in The Walking Dead. And I was like, oh my God, I love that game. And so I just randomly got a chance to audition and magically got cast, and like many of these people here, that was my first gig, and I have The Walking Dead to thank for my career in voiceover, and it's really incredible.
I got started, I did Monkey Island, and then I was in Kit Tannen in the Back to the Future series, and then they brought me in as Omid, and it's to this day my favorite character ever. And I always tell people the story that the first season, we all became very good friends, the voice actors, and we'd go to like get drinks and then discuss, have you heard anything? Have you heard, is anybody gonna be killed? That kind of I'm not kidding, because we didn't know what was coming. And Kenny would always go, I'm dead, I know I'm dead. It's coming next episode, I will be dead.
I said that every time we met. So how do I die?
Again. Speaking of dead characters, you may notice that someone is not present at the panel today. We actually have a clip from Dave Fennoy, the voice of Lee.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's fine.
He's just either, Lee is either a walker or in Walker Heaven. Dave is in Europe, so he's fine. But
he's more than fine.
Yes, Europe is
fine.
He's fantastic. He's alive.
We have proof.
Just in Europe.
Yeah. Can we roll the clip from Dave?
Hi, how you doing? I'm Dave Fennoy,
saying hello to everybody at PAX West. I'm sorry I can't be there. I was otherwise occupied. But you guys have a great time. I'll be thinking about you. Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah. Do you have like a favorite line or a favorite scene that you recorded? Mel, I think I might know what yours is, but if you have one that comes to mind.
Do you?
Maybe. I don't know. I hear some stuff about the end of the first season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that the final episode of season one was definitely quite an experience. I didn't know that you could go so deep, you know, as far as being a very painful emotional experience, and you know that of course was why this game was it's so effective. It affects people in such a crazy way. But yeah, recording that final episode, it was crazy. Like it was legit tears. I called Dave afterwards. Dave, I'm just gonna point to the screen now. I called Dave Benoit afterwards and was just, you know, like had to check in with him. We did not record that scene together. We don't often, unfortunately, really get to work together in the game, making up the games. But yeah, that was an insanely awesome experience for me. Yeah. One of my favorite scenes.
Do any of you guys have lines that people ask you for at like things like PAX or
Con? Whoa!
How do I follow that? My favorite was definitely Lee helping Carly with the batteries. That was
Where are those batteries?
No, I actually get people all the time saying, so we were married and then they were married, okay? Starting here first. The scene with Katya when they, you know, she's trying to convince Kenny that Duck's not gonna make it. And it's very weepy. I get people telling me that they want to hear that a lot, and it gets real awkward real fast.
I've got two. I guess one's not even from The Walking Dead. It's from Minecraft Story Mode. But it refers to The Walking Dead, and I couldn't believe they let me do it. But the first one is after leaving Clementine in a shed all night long, where she then like murders a zombie and stitches her own self up with a giant fish hook, and we open up the door, and Luke just goes, "Holy shit. That's one tough kid." I'm like, this is the most, it's already so apparent. I love that I get to say it. But in Minecraft Story Mode, we were towards the end of the first season, like episode 7 or whatever, we're flying through all these doors, these portals. And I was like, guys, just, we never see where we go, but just let me come out of one of the doors and do, "Oh, ice lakes." And they were like, "Yes, please do it." And then it went in the game. And then, yeah, I got a lot of ice lakes constantly online.
Luke's a mermaid jokes.
Yes. Luke is a mermaid.
Yeah, he's a mermaid.
Yeah, Luke is, yeah, he's.
Mermaid.
Surprise!
Spoilers!
Oh, for me, I think there was this line in the season where we're in a cabin and Javi goes, "I fucking love pudding." And it was funny because in the session, we're like recording and we read the scene through, and that line wasn't in there, and I just kind of to myself was just like, "I fucking love pudding." And the director was like, "I think we can use that." And I was like, "Yeah, I think you definitely should use that." So, spoiler alert, I actually love fucking pudding.
What? You like eating pudding?
I said that in such a wrong way.
We can take that back, right?
No, just say it for us.
That's a soundbite on the internet forever.
I fucking love pudding.
This reminded me of a Living Color episode where there was, in Living Color, I think it was like David Alan Greer would just rub his butt in a big pile of like 400 pounds of pudding. And he'd go, "Oh yeah, 400 pounds of pudding." I don't know that exactly, but I do enjoy eating.
Please don't tweet it. Yeah,
I can't wait to see all of you with pudding. Be nice.
Not canon. I mean, Molly is full of one-liners, so there's a lot of good stuff there. But one of my favorite lines was actually Bonnie, and no one asks me to do lines from Bonnie because no one likes Bonnie.
So she killed.
But because yeah, well, she killed a couple of these
Another
guys.
Another me.
Whoops.
But yeah, there's a scene as she survives the lake. She's smoking a cigarette with Clem. And Bonnie's a pleaser, you know, like she just wants to make everyone happy and she's so bad at it. And she just has this scene where she's just like royally fucked everything up and she's telling a story about how she's royally fucked everything up and she just takes a drag and puts it on and goes, I gotta go take a piss. And then just leaves. And I thought that was just like, oh, Bonnie, I feel you.
Without a doubt for Omid, it was, you ruined that dude's face. Yeah. And then I got to play Troy in season 2, and they said to me, Julian said, well, he gets shot in the junk. What do you think that sounds like? And so I did a scream that is now Julian's ringtone.
Yeah. Can you do it? What does it sound like, Owen?
No, you can't. We hurt everybody if I did it. It's
very... Owen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just walk on there.
I'll scream and then the line after. You sound like a cop.
So I have one last question for everybody but Melissa, and then we're going to open it up to audience Q&A. So if you have a question, start going up. The mic's right over there at the end of the aisle. How do you hope Clementine's story ends? Melissa's not allowed to answer.
I hope it ends with Kenny. heading back to Florida, of course.
What a strange question.
Yeah, I hope she's fine. I hope she doesn't die. That's about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I mean, is there really another answer, though, that works? Like,
I hope she gets the dance.
And he's on a
really
boat.
Hope
and
they try her. I
don't know. Like, I hope she lives in a great. But like, what do you do after the zombie apocalypse? Where do you go? You go from one terrible community to another.
Right. Yeah, I want it to be like the Jurassic Park helicopter moment, where she's just like flying away and feels very
and
safe.
And everything's fine in
Europe. Yeah, the pterodactyl.
Yeah, but Europe has not been affected.
Right.
They've got universal health care.
Sails to Europe on a boat and just names it the Kenny 3. I don't know.
The Kenny
3. Well, yeah.
Me and Luke.
No, Luke's definitely
a mermaid.
Yeah, they didn't tell me they were killing me. I found out on page, 78 of that day's session.
He's not so bitter.
Yeah, not holding on to anything.
Yeah,
still bitter.
Not dead. And not too jaded. That's how I hope Clem's story ends. Not dead and not too jaded.
Yeah. I feel like something good should happen to Clem. Like, maybe she should get to go outside and just, like, play.
But what good? I think that'd
be a great idea. Clem just gets to play.
Yeah, I want her to meet up with Molly, and I want them to parkour around the world together.
Parkour?
Yeah.
Just bouncing from one wall to the next.
Oh, I just hope that, she turns out okay, because if Telltale hurts her in any way, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Very protective.
Yeah.
No comment.
We know where the building is.
Yeah. All right, so let's open it up to audience Q&A. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Megan. This question's for everyone. As we get towards the end, the release of this series and this story, if you had a chance as yourself to say something to your character or any of the others, what would you like to say to them?
Whoa, man.
I would tell Jolene not to shoot people in the balls.
I'd tell Luke not to feel sorry for himself. Luke had a tendency to feel a little bit sorry for himself. And it cost him and almost cost a bunch of other people in the process. And I think that's what I would tell him.
I'd tell Kenny to relax.
I'd tell Katja maybe don't marry
him. Don't out. I would tell both of them not to name their kid Duck.
I think I would have told Javi, like, kissing your brother's wife is like questionable.
I would tell Javi not to fuck that pudding.
That's probably good advice.
I think I'd
tell Molly that it's okay to love people and it's okay to have feelings.
Oh. Yeah. You need a hug.
Feelings get you killed. Oh. I would tell Amit to take it down a notch at certain situations. That's about it. I liked him. I really liked him a lot, so I'm cool with him.
Yeah, I think I'd just tell Clementine, I don't know, I mean, it's just been such an amazing journey for both of us, because I literally now have a double personality, kind of mental. She exists. She's real. She lives inside of me. Yeah, I just would tell her how proud I am of her, because she's done so well. Yeah, and I love her. Not going to cry. Not crying in Seattle at PAX.
Thank you guys very much.
What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Alex. If any of you worked on Walking Dead, Michonne, or you even just played it, I always wish that there was an option to just support Monroe, because it seemed to me like Sam was really the bad character there. So I just wanted your opinion on helping out Sam versus, you know, what could have happened if they just left Monroe alone.
Listen, I think Norma's really misunderstood. I didn't actually play Michonne. I did play Norma in the DLC. She was not kind, but she had to run a strong, like, steady ship, literally and figuratively, to like keep people alive. So I get it. Also, don't bet against Michonne, because she's a badass. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Yeah, I was just kind of saying, Norma, I forgot her name, but yeah, Norma was the one in charge of Monroe.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seemed like she was running the town okay, compared to most Walking down Dead towns we see. It seemed like that was doing fine until Michonne came along, but...
Concur. Thank you for the question.
We're the Walking Dead in here.
Howdy.
Hi.
My name is Patrick. Speaking from the perspective of your characters, would you let Javier cut your hair? And for Clementine, would you let him do it again?
I think he did an amazing job.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Like, that's it was a very
solid,
it was like
cut.
All asymmetric. I mean, it was super awesome.
It was very like,
I know it was a little upsetting. People, the community was not thrilled that
really?
She cut her hair. I don't know, there was something with the haircut. Yeah. What is that haircut?
She's keeping it short.
I think Javi did a great job. And I would totally go back to him for another haircut. Me and Clementine. Jeff?
I would totally
let you cut my hair.
Yeah, absolutely. Like right now.
Great.
No, Luke had some. Fine lettuce on his head. I'm Luke's not letting anybody wear that. Right. Especially another dude from over here, scissors.
No.
Yeah, Bonnie would, because she would really like. Yeah, I think she'd be like, "You're my new man. You're gonna tell me what to do because I can't make decisions by myself."
Cut my hair and tell me what to do.
As you do.
That's so healthy.
It's like a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Not gonna
lie. Anyone else have any barber opinions about The Walking Dead?
I don't think Kenny would let anybody touch that Molly.
No. It was glorious.
Sounded like Oprah Bagley.
Hobby.
Yeah.
Would you let Hobby cut your hair?
Yes.
I didn't have to think about it. That was immediate.
Yes,
I guess that's everything.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if I'm tall enough for this. Just try
to lean in tiptoes. Yeah, I can relate.
My name is Mr. This is kind of a silly one. If you're allowed to say it, what is your favorite scrapped line? Like, overall, throughout each part of the series.
Favorite what?
Scrap line. Right. Something that just wasn't used.
Troy had a bunch of scraps.
So many get scrapped.
Like, wait, it was written so well, and it was, actually. Yeah. There's not too much that, I mean, there's not too much to get. It's not one of these games where they're like, I don't know, you know, on this next take, just improv some. You know, do what you want with it, you know, take liberties. It's just, the script is so nailed down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been weird, I think at one point when Clem met Sam the dog, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
At one point, she goes up to the... Are there something that it was written in a way that it sounds like she says, "What's up, dog?" So that when I read it, I saw it, and I was like, well, this is going to sound really weird. And of course, "What's up, dog?" And it was just like, yeah, that's not going to work. So, I mean, that's like the best example I can give. Okay, so
how about...
Something better next time.
I kind of have one, and that I recorded a scene with Sandra, which was the babysitter, Clem's babysitter. There's a flashback where you meet Sandra as like a human, a functional human, and like you see her get attacked, and you see like how that all happened, like how Clem ended up in the treehouse in the very beginning, and the whole thing got cut. But it was really fun. It's like a little origin story.
There was a lot of we filmed like this weird little back and forth when Luke chose to go get his rocks off instead of keeping watch, and there's this back and forth like, oh yeah, oh. It's like it was the most awkward. It's not my favorite thing that got scrapped. I'm so happy that it's not anywhere.
Except now.
Yeah, except now.
That's not what it's out here. Yeah, big pile of pudding in the back.
He's a method actor.
You should have seen that booth when I got to it.
There's any other pudding questions?
Pudding, post-apocalyptic snack.
See, are you happy now?
She had to think about it. I was like, oh, no. This is going to be a silly question, but unless you answer it properly, we are not going to.
So my name's Kelson, and this is a sort of hypothetical question. So once you guys are probably done with this season, I was wondering, would any of you guys be down to do another Strong Bad game?
Well, I was never in that. I
would. Like, if you were ever invited, like, would you be down?
We don't ask you to be involved in a Strong Bad project. Right. You don't know me. The answer is yes, now.
I don't like work. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. We're actors. Is there a sandwich involved?
The only one.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Hi, my name is Jeremy. This is for Melissa and Gavin. There's a video that I found on YouTube. I can't remember his name.
No. Hang on.
Sorry. Tell us more.
It was a theory. Well, it's kind of a video talking about the relationship between Clementine and Kenny in the second season, and it's called "We Need to Talk About Kenny." And the reason why is because he's in his video. He describes the relationship between Clementine and Kenny, as well as the player and Kenny, as a theoretical, basically abusive relationship. Because while you enjoy, like, you got all these great memories of Kenny, but because of how his character is degrading and losing his sense, right, at the very end, it's a hard decision. Even though, like, I'm sorry, I did shoot you, but
you didn't sound that sorry. It's okay.
I'm just kind of wondering, did you guys kind of have that thought process while going through it? Because obviously it is a change of a character from someone that you enjoyed to someone who's basically becoming your enemy.
Yeah, I don't know. As a fan of the game, playing the game, my Clementine was pretty much irresponsible across the board, as much as she can be. So I, like, you know, killed Jane, left with Kenny, got to the community, left with Kenny in the snowstorm. So it's interesting to hear you say that, actually. Yes, he was, you know...
He was great!
Starting to lose, you know, his mind a bit. But, I don't know. It's hard.
To be honest, I never thought of it, actually, when I was playing it. But then he brought up some points. I was like, oh, wow, he's not entirely wrong. Just the idea that he's becoming almost a toxic person to the group. He's fighting with everyone. And even at the end, right, when his excuse is kind of his assumption for what he did, what Jane did with, what was his name?
AJ.
He's like, oh, she's just losing her mind. It's like, it's a little, I don't know. That's why I wanted to ask you guys that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Which table did you sit at?
Table?
In the cafeteria.
Did you sit at Luke's table or Kenny's table?
Oh yeah, let's discuss.
Oh, Kenny.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Sorry, Luke.
Can I also ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is that a Philadelphia A's hat?
No, actually, it's not.
That's it. I'm done.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name's Christian, and I was wondering if I can hear all your Javier Garcia best impression from all of you.
What?
Yeah.
I fucking love pudding.
I love fucking pudding.
Hey, Clint, we gotta go.
Why are you trying to get Jeff mad at us?
Sorry.
Hi, I'm Diego. I was just wondering what your opinion on of Ben as a character, because some people hate him and some people think he's just misunderstood.
Ben.
I think you have your answer.
In season one, my Clementine was less irresponsible. She was a sweetheart, so she was the one that she liked Ben.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for Clementine now, myself.
No.
And I wasn't as disturbed by Ben as a lot of people really, really dislike Ben.
I think more of us would be a Ben than we want to admit.
Yes.
So I think we should go easy on Ben.
It's look in the mirror, people. We are all Ben.
Yeah.
You're Ben. you're not Ben. You're not a Ben. It's okay.
Hello, my name's Robert. This goes for the entire cast. If you all survived up to season 4, what do you think the entire group dynamic would be? Like, who would be the leader? Who would be the runner for supplies? Like, all that.
Duck.
Jolene would totally be the runner. Like, she would go out for supplies and she would kill anything that got in her path. I think because she had a crossbow.
Yeah. You would. He would get. We would help, and we'd get some mental health care for Kenny.
Hopefully.
Come around. I think the Javier and Clem. I mean, that was a good.
It was
we
good.
Were good.
That was a. That was,
we were good.
You
so that
was
that's
so good together.
We were so
good
together.
Together.
It was a little heartbreaking to have them. Yeah.
Luke's fine. Like, he was an uncomfortable leader. He was forced to do something that he wasn't really built for. He loses a lot of his family. All of a sudden, he's got to step up. He was not comfortable there. So Luke's fine just being the glue guy. Like, what do we need done?
He was good.
And as long as you keep him away from Kenny.
We teach him how to swim.
Get him develop more and more.
Teach him how to swim.
New money. I was shot in the leg by my least favorite character in the series, so I think everybody's least.
Was that me?
Yeah.
Arvo.
Arvo!
Alright, thank you.
Really quick, I have a related question. If you could pick 3 people from any season of The Walking Dead to be on your zombie apocalypse team, which 3?
Lily. She'd be good.
Can I cheat and take Glenn?
Yeah, well, he's in season 1.
There you go. He is in there.
He is technically in season 1.
No, I know he's in season 1. I was just, you know, he was just a passerby.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
You're in team 1, though? Just Glenn?
Just Glenn.
Can Lee?
I was
going
to say Lee for sure.
Lee.
Yeah, Lee.
I think you have to throw Jesus in there, too, right?
Jesus?
Wait, Clem, horseback riding samurai? Like, I'm taking that guy. Clem, Lee, Glenn. And, you know, Luke stays alive.
Yeah. Luke and Clem were good. They were good. They were another good together.
Excuse me? Yeah, I got a little weird with people who like, Luke and Tyne. I'm like, he's like 30, she's 12.
People. Let's shoot them.
Clunk.
Well, that is Clunk. All
right, sorry. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is James. So, question for everybody. Every episode, it's a series of making terrible life decisions, and at the end of the episode, you get to see how the rest of the world fared off. Which global response was the most surprising for you guys?
saving Carly and Doug. Everyone went for Carly, obviously, because she has a gun and she knows how to use it. But come on, Doug! He's so sweet. He's so smart. Go for the smart guy. I picked Doug, and I was astonished to see the ratio of how many people favored Carly.
Oh, you mean the... Oh, I was surprised at how many people killed Kenny.
I was amazed anybody killed Kenny.
I was shocked. I saw it was like, I mean, yeah.
Well, they did. There was a lot of tweaking to make sure more of you killed Kenny. So.
Yeah.
Because he's so good.
Thank you.
Oh. Hello.
Howdy.
Hi. I'm Riley. My question is, if all of you could pick any other character, either just within The Walking Dead or within all of Telltale's canon, to voice besides your own or any that you did voice, who would you pick?
All of them.
Yeah.
One character.
Sorry, since he's a one-woman show, all of her games now, every character.
Coming soon.
I'm Batman.
Joker.
I don't know. Like, the thing is, I appreciate the question, but it's a little loaded because we're friends with all of the people that have done those voices. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point.
Mostly. Some of them are just so.
Yeah.
But, so I feel like it's, for me, it's more of what would you want to voice in future stuff, not what has already come out. And for that, like,
yeah.
I want to, like, a Batwoman, like, vigilante badass woman.
And I want to be the Joker. I wasn't joking. That would be so
good.
Much fun. Thank you. Yeah, see?
I disagree. I think I could do all your jobs better than all of you.
Hey, I'm Omie. No, are you?
You totally ruined that guy's face.
I remember 5 seconds ago when she said some of them are just...
I mean,
yeah.
This guy.
Anybody else? Any character you'd want to voice? Baby AJ. Only baby version.
That's easy.
It's like,
I think
I like
Rocket.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melissa. My question, I have two questions for you guys, actually. First one is, what would you say to Lee if you knew it was the last time you were seeing him? As your character.
Oh, yeah, I kind of did. I mean, at this, you mean maybe, okay, well, let's pretend. Let's say now it's older Clem and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think she would just thank him for making her, you know, showing her, leading her towards the strong character, this survivor that she became. I don't really know.
I would say don't reach for the hat. Leave the hat on the ground.
Don't touch the hat. Although we do love that hat, don't we? So.
Sorry about the urban thing.
That's right.
And then my second question is, when they're at the ski lodge and Clementine has the choice of staying or going, what would you choose? Like, what would you think would happen if she stayed with Kenny rather than going with Luke and them?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. What would happen? What would happen if we, like, get with Sarita?
Adventure.
Oh, Sarita.
Sarita. We
I was almost the voice of Sarita, and they were like, that would just be weird.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I think we would have made a lovely Christmas dinner, and it was like Christmas or something, right? They were decorating the trees. We'd get the lift working again, and we'd ski.
Yeah. We'd do a little snowboarding. Teach Luke how to swim.
Yeah, awesome. Luke would have preferred to fucking stay.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Juliana, and I wanted to know, where do you think your characters would be if they were alive in this season?
Where geographically, or what would they be doing?
What would they be doing and where would they be?
Oh,
Katya would probably be in a corner somewhere just shaking because Kenny's gone off the rails.
Selling Amway? Not doing very well.
The little customers.
I think Hobby and Kate would be a thing. Probably, I think he has probably a family now. He'd get pretty daddy by then. What does it feel like very fatherly?
I think the removal of Luke from the big choice at the end of season 2 was like, I mean, I think it had to be, and I actually talked to them about it that day. So I feel like he was, one thing he was okay at was moderating situations. I think everybody might have come out of that thing alive if Luke may have been there. So I think, you know, him and Kenny would be at odds constantly, but I think that group would be much stronger at the other side of the ice lake. But God.
We're not gonna move past this,
yeah. Yeah. I've never moved past.
I was like, why am I shivering?
It's been like 4 years.
Wait, hold on. Let me just go next to the next page. Wait, why is the ice breaking underneath me? Guys, what's going on? Guys, and Julian's just on the other side going. Nobody tell Scott? Did nobody tell him?
I think Shell would be with her sister Becca somewhere in a town, in a haven, and just protecting her.
Norma would. Were everybody.
Yeah, who the hell are these
people?
Shell was in. So I was in season 1, I was Katya and Jolene and Bree. In 500 Days, I was Shell, who was one of the playables, and D.
Whoops.
I actually went into labor recording for D as I was getting my face bashed in with a metal pipe, and they were like, can you give us pain? And I was like, yes!
Can you give us less pain?
No!
Great, you're doing great, sissy.
And then in season 2, Shell had a little bit, and then I was the Howes announcer.
Oh,
how's that for blah, 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 blah? Like, you just heard her on the intercom. And then in Michonne, I was Norma and Vanessa.
Dang.
That sounds
She is a one-woman show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi there, my name is Kanan. My one question, me being a young actor and really wanting to do this as a profession, what would your one piece of advice for me be? Yeah.
I answer this a lot. Number one, there's a website called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com.
Interesting.
It's done by Dee Bradley Baker, who is one of the most prolific voice actors in the business. Read it, know it, love it. Mwah. Secondly, I would say find a good coach. There's a lot of really reputable coaches who will work with you. It's not cheap, and it's never overnight, and anybody that promises you a demo at the end of a weekend is full of shit and just out to take your money.
Yep.
Find a good coach, work with them. When they say you're ready, find another coach. When they say you're ready, find another coach. And when the third one says you're ready, you're probably ready.
All right.
And listen, there's voiceover all around you. So.
Yeah.
Keep your ears open.
Watch a lot of cartoons.
Yeah.
I'll also say that there, in this and a lot of other artistic endeavors, there's a lot of people out there who will gladly take your money and not give you what you need in return. So
yeah,
research.
Research. And I would say too, start listening. Like, watch TV differently. Like, you know, like you fast forward the commercials. Start fast forwarding the show. Not all the shows, but like, and watch the commercials and really listen and read everything. Like. Read candy wrappers, just start reading out loud. Every candy wrappers, magazines, books.
Record yourself.
Yeah.
Hear yourself back.
Yet if you're not
and then
in
don't
a
stop.
Yeah.
If you're not in a sub, you know, I go to many places across the United States, and if you're not in a saying really good words right now and I get paid to do this. Some communities don't necessarily have a voice over, you know, system going on. You know, if you live in the middle of nowhere, you're not going to find a voiceover coach. So community college acting, I have a musical theater background, like that's, you know, how I
but
got
Skype helps.
Yeah,
that's true. There are people that will Skype, but just acting, it's acting.
Yeah.
My favorite piece of advice that I ever got from somebody that said it's not the most talented who make it, it's the people who want it the most. Because in many cases, the most talented people give up when they don't get a reaction. Get it right away. It's the people that power through. We're obviously not the most talented people you've ever seen. So, I know, but if, seriously.
Wow.
I mean, how can you say someone's the most talented?
I say this all the time. Also try and remember that this is a relationship business.
Yes.
Just like any other workplace, when you go to work, try and build positive relationships with people that you work with, because that begets work in its own right. I put myself down on tape for this role to work with Telltale, which I've gotten so much work after that, but I work with them and continue to work with them because they're real, honest, amazing, talented people. And instead of walking into the booth and thinking they're paying me, so obviously, you know, I'm super talented, I'm here for a reason. No, it's a relationship business. Be appreciative and just try and build really positive relationships, and you'll be amazed how far that can take you as well. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Deb.
Hi.
I actually have two questions, one as voice actors and one as specifically working for The Walking Dead. As voice actors, when you're called to play a role that maybe you're not that race or you don't have that accent, how do you approach that and approach that professionally and not make a caricature or step over a line?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Accents, for me, as long as it's like a white, you know, like Russian or European or whatever, like I will do that. In terms of racially casting, I really don't go there because I have so many talented friends who aren't getting the same opportunities that white actors are, and there's no reason for me to do a character that, you know, does not mix. Like, Clementine is a mixed race character, right? But I'm not gonna go try to be Michonne, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think we're doing a better job of creating characters of color, and I think we're doing a disservice if we don't cast with actors of color. They exist, and they are talented, and we have a history of thinking that white people can do everything. And you know, that still exists in this business. There are still people who make a career out of, you know, playing just about everything you can imagine.
And Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Yeah. And so I think it's our job, you know, I think some creatives, some casting directors want it to be easy and want to cast one actor to do a lot of stuff, and I think we have a responsibility, personally, I believe we have a responsibility as actors to say, no, I'm not going to do that, but I will do this, this, and this for you. And by us setting those boundaries, hopefully we can lift our fellow actors of color up.
But if it is, like Sissy said earlier, an accent that you haven't tried to tackle yet that is suitable for you, instead of going and watching character-y versions of it somewhere, find a documentary, find real people, find some really excellent things to watch that are natural and true and organic, and just pick up on those little things. And it will set you apart from everybody else that's trying to do a big character-y version of that accent. Subtleness helps a lot.
There's also the International Dialect of English Archives, which
yes.
is IDEA.org. It's a linguistics website. I'm a linguist, so that's where I come from.
Yes.
But it's great. It's actual people all reading a prepared prompt and then speaking sort of comfortably, you know, about whatever it is they like to do. But everybody reads this same short story called Karma Gets a Cure.
Karma Gets a Cure.
But so you get to reference that against other people, and it goes by region. It's every part of the world, people speaking English. It's cool. It's very helpful for any accent you might ever want to know.
Yeah.
Kansas, right?
Oh, Edinburgh.
Kansas University.
No, Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Kansas too?
It's on the interwebs.
One more question.
Yeah, my other question.
All we're going to have time for. Sorry that everybody else is online. But we'll stick around. Answer your question.
So obviously, Walking Dead, the players make choices. And depending upon what choices we make...
And they matter.
Yeah, depending upon what choices we make, that's the dialogue we'll hear. But obviously, you've recorded both. So as these are your characters, and you have to figure out what their motivation is, and when you're delivering lines, are there any lines that just you would pick one choice or the other, or was easier for you to record? It felt more true to who Clementine or Luke was, or?
Yeah, it's hard to figure out with different scripts. Very hard. Yeah.
I always felt like in a universe where anything is possible, right? The reason all the trees exist is because there's a universe where any of those things could happen. So I think, like, as an actor, if you switch either, you know, the way you built something, because there's a lot of you built into a character that isn't written on the page. So all you have to do is tweak some of those things that you built for yourself, and then any of those choices are possible. So I think, yeah, there's probably some that feel more like authentic in the moment, but it's really easy when things are well written for any of those things to be true.
It's interesting for me because I'm a gamer as well as an actor. Like I said, I played the first game 4 times because I wanted to see. I was so into the performances and the different outcomes, but I wanted, I saved my prime file, and that's what I've taken forward with me. But in doing other games with Telltale, it's really difficult for me, especially when I was Star-Lord. I don't know, when you play the game, it's got to be super difficult. Like season 2, especially, like where you're now the player here.
Right, as the playable. Yeah.
I am trying to shepherd, when I did Guardian, Star-Lord into the scenes that I like the best. Because you can't help but like one decision over another when you're in the booth and thinking of it as a gamer as well as an actor. And like, you know, there's just some really funny stuff, some really great lines that can only exist if you choose these four dominoes to fall, you know? And so, and then it's like this weird maze of like, how do I get to that one thing where I'm like a blubbering, hilarious idiot in this one thing? Because you want to see that part of it, you know? So, but playing Luke, it was, you're dependent on the player who's playing Clem to get to the stuff that you like. So I gave it less weight when I was just an ancillary character as opposed to the player character.
Yeah, and there's something about when you're recording a piece of dialogue that you're like, God, no one's going to see this. Like, Bonnie's speech at the end, like, no one wants Bonnie to live. No one's going to hear this. But in a way that motivated me, I was just like, I'm going to make this a badass speech so that the people who do save, like, let her live, they're going to get a good little monologue out of her.
Awesome. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Before you guys get up to leave, we have one special thing. I want to thank you guys for coming and thank the panelists.
Can I thank you?
Yes.
Can I thank them now?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Seriously, this has been such an amazing journey, and I love you all with all my heart. So thank you.
Episode 2 of The Walking Dead, the final season. It's called Suffer the Children. It's out September 25th. And actually, before we roll that clip, although get it ready, there is someone in the audience that I want to stand up. She's the lead designer on that episode, and her name is Emily. She's right back there. I'm really excited for you guys to see this clip. Let's roll it.
You were having a nightmare. Same one you used to have all the time. About what happened at the ranch.
I'll be okay. Just give me a minute. Hey, what do you have there? Did you have a bad dream too? You've been having them a lot lately.
I feel safer like this, not sleeping. I want to stay up forever. I probably could. Like 18 days, if I tried hard.
We're safe here, AJ.
It doesn't feel like it.
You used to think so. Here, let me help you back to bed.
No. You don't have to keep checking on me. You always say, be tough. So I am. You say, be strong. And I will. All the time.
You're the toughest boy I know. Probably the toughest boy in the whole world. Not as tough as you. Well, no one's as tough as me. I'm sorry you had to do all the hard work. Showing them I'm good and smart. Smarter than them. I'm gonna help you more, so you don't have to do everything.
Where are you going?
On patrol.
Patrol.
For danger. Bad people. Monsters. Whatever you have nightmares about. What if you stayed here instead? If you go back to sleep, I'll stay awake and make sure no more bad dreams come. You can't do that. You're not magic.
How do you know?
Maybe I have magic and never told you. No, you don't. What is it? Could I maybe sleep in your bed? Like I did when I was little?
Yeah, come on up.
I'm not scared, just tired.
Makes sense to me. Think you need that? AJ?
What?
You're still little.